You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Hao Tong Li reels in Rory for a record-breaking victory at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic.
I think the most of the time just only 2 or 1 behind, so I just want to keep putting myself in the position and just don't go too far away. So just happy.
Li's stunning finish in Dubai means he becomes the first ever Chinese player to make the world's top 50. We'll hear from him, and there's also plenty more from Mr. McIlroy.
Tried until the very end, made him win it in the end, which was, you know, all I could do. You know, and he played very well on the way in, birdie in 3 of the last 4. You know, I just wish I could get a couple of those holes back.
We'll review all the action from the Emirates Golf Club before defending champion Fabrizio Zanotti helps us preview the next event on the European Tour, the Maybank Championship in Malaysia. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by John Hawksworth, fresh out of his driving position in his... What car are you driving these days, John?
I'm driving a sexy little beast from Sweden called a Saab.
Oh, you still got that?
Oh, I have.
You were trying to offload it at some point, weren't you? For a reasonable price.
I took it somewhere, left it with the keys in, but it still was there when I went back.
Still there.
Yeah, still pursuing it.
What about Hao Tong Li?
Chinese lad, very good player.
Not a surprise, though.
No, I've kept my eye on him over
there. First win in Dubai.
Up against, obviously, Rory McIlroy and a great field. And I watched him in Abu Dhabi the week before. I think he's changed his technique considerably. He's more online, very confident lad. And when you push down the road, which he was all the way by Rory McIlroy, he's got to really wake up this morning and say, I can compete with the best there. Because McIlroy, back from injury, Abu Dhabi played well this week. But he wasn't frightened of him. And his birdie on 17 after McIlroy nearly chipped in, I thought it was a brave, brave putt to maintain his lead.
Did you think when McIlroy had hit a drive and a 7-iron onto the 10th green and 2-putted for a birdie to go, what, a couple in front?
Yeah.
It was all over.
Yeah, because then he got 13, the par 5 to come.
18.
18.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched him the week before in Abu Dhabi, big golf course. Some of the places he hit it and the clubs he was hitting it, it's just a different world. Unbelievable. He's fit, he's strong, and he definitely has an advantage on the lines he can take, but... Credit to Hao Tong Li, he wasn't fazed by it and just nicked it by a shot. You know, 18's a great finishing hole there.
Hao Tong Li birdies the last two holes. You know, when you're in the scrap, that's pretty impressive.
Very impressive, because it's a tough drive off 18, doglegs round to the left, water short, but obviously confident. And when you shoot 64 in round 3, McIlroy shot that in round 2. I couldn't believe the scoring. In fact, over the 2 weeks, 2 under made the cut in Abu Dhabi, a lot of guys' first week out. Big golf course, heavy rough, 5 under round Dubai made the cut. I mean, I'm sorry, the equipment's to do with that as well. That is not a 5 under par cut golf course, is it?
Well, the thing about that golf course is it normally plays like it did the last day most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time you get an afternoon decent breeze and the morning and afternoon scoring is quite different. For a few days there, it was
benign.
Unbelievably calm, Greens were pure.
Yeah, I know, but nevertheless, to get the ball in the hole...
You think if you go through the golf course, there's probably 4 or 5 holes you've got to play well. The rest are birdie chances.
If you're all on your game, but for 65 in ties to be 5 under... So 70 people made the cut.
Yeah.
69 people made the cut. And you shoot 5 under, 70-69, over the first 2 days.
What's more ridiculous? You shoot 5 under and you make the cut, or you shoot 4 under and you go home?
You shoot 4 under and you go home.
Yeah.
I found that staggering.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, if you give these players good conditions and the greens are pure.
They are.
The length of the golf course doesn't, I keep telling people, it doesn't matter how long you make the golf course. That's not the deal.
But, a lot of good players shot 4 under par and missed the cut.
Yeah.
World-class players. 270s, you'd have gone, I'll be here for the weekend. I don't care what you say.
You can play nicely and shoot 270s and you're not through at the weekend.
Strict scoring.
But then you have weeks where... more people play well as well. It's movable.
It's so early in the season. You know, some guys went to South Africa. A lot of people went to the desert for 2 weeks. To come out and fire on all cylinders immediately is hard.
Yeah, but look at Rory. He's been practicing, you know, properly for a long time.
Yeah, but a lot of lads have been back in their various countries just because Rory's been out there practicing hard because he hasn't played for a while.
Mm.
Obviously, it shows in his performances, but nevertheless, for 71 people in Abu Dhabi, to shoot 200 and better, and 69 to shoot 500 and better in Dubai is staggering to me.
Alex Levy had a really good tournament, obviously needs points, wants to play in Paris in, what, 9 months' time?
And I think he will.
You think he's going to get in the
team?
Yeah,
I think he will,
or
yeah.
Or close enough to get a pick, maybe.
Yeah, and I like
it's great.
The way...
He's a great watch, isn't he?
Yeah, he plays refreshingly. He played well in Abu Dhabi, he's played well in Dubai. He plays the game in the right spirit for me. And to have a Frenchman in, I think he's, well, not nailed on, but I'd be amazed if he didn't get in.
And Tyrrell Hatton?
Well, he's two wins at the end of last year and then played well in Abu Dhabi, played well again in Dubai. Tyrrell Hatton has gone up a level for me.
Doesn't back off, does he?
No, he's not frightened.
He's not. There's not a shred, not a hint. He's a bit like Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm plays the same way. Not a hint of back off.
No, but you know,
can come unstuck and you can gamble and take a double somewhere, but that's not the same thing.
Well, they're not frightened if they get in position of perhaps making bogey or double bogey and sort of slitting their own throat. They go for it. A lot of players now just go for the tournament, go for the trophy, and give it everything. And Hatton's certainly one of those.
So McIlroy was a couple under on the front nine with no mistakes.
Yep.
Then he hits the drive 7-9, two putt birdie at 10. And then you think he's going to win. And what about the response then from the winner, Hao Tong Li?
Well, I just think he showed great composure, really, because he's playing with McIlroy, and he is an intimidating person. Also, he carries a big crowd with him. But have you seen the way McIlroy looks this year? I don't know what they've done to him. They've obviously got another body out of a wardrobe. He's totally different. I know he's worked hard. He looks fit as a butcher's dog, and I think he's swinging it the best that I can remember for many years. But as I said, Hao Tong Li, I think, has improved his technique. And obviously, the important bit, his head.
When Hao Tong Li dropped the shot at 12...
Good par four.
Yeah, but when he flared his second shot short right and then and didn't get it up and down, that, again, for me, with the par 5 13th coming, was the end of it. It was all over again for the second time.
But it wasn't, though, was it?
No, but it wasn't.
Really, McIlroy should have imposed his superiority on where he was going to hit it on the golf course. Destroy par fives.
Well, he'd be kicking himself. He didn't knock a mid to short iron onto the green, which he knocked it on the green, three putted, 13.
Yeah, but it's a big green.
Hao Tong Li birdies.
Mm.
So then the gap's getting closed.
Yeah.
And then at 14, they both make par.
Round the corner again.
Yeah, and then 15, Hao Tong Li makes it from off the back edge.
Yeah, and that's a great par. That's the last par three. That's a great par three that's been lengthened, slim green that runs a little bit from sort of 5 o'clock on the clock up to 11, so it runs across you. But it just shows, though, doesn't it? These guys now, they talk about Rory McIlroy. There's plenty of players are now not intimidated by the likes of McIlroy. Tiger Woods is back. I think the game has changed a little bit. So for Hao Tong Li to get that win, it's who he's beaten.
Was that the most key shot for Hao Tong Li, the putty hold on the back of 15?
Well, it was certainly contributory, I would say.
You know, you weren't expecting a two from there, were you? Because the green quick. He's coming out of that fluffy fringe, and the green was super quick.
For me, he's up and down on 17. He was short left, perfect position. McIlroy was off to the right, and then McIlroy nearly held his chip shot. And then the way he held that birdie putt to stay one ahead...
On 17.
Yeah,
was impressive.
Was impressive.
And then he was always going to lay up after his tee shot missed the fairway at 18.
You have to do.
And how good was his third shot,
yeah,
by the way?
Well, yeah, and not a very nice pin either, because the green tilts from back to front. I remember McIlroy winning in 09. He hit it in the back trap and got up and down the hill. It's like trying to stop a wet seal on a water slide down there. It's so fast.
I was just sort of working that one through, the wet seal on the water
slide. Well, if you've got a wet seal coming at you
down the
water slide.
You've been to SeaWorld, have you?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it when they get out the pool and they come alongside and they skid in their tummy right across that sort of stage area.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's what I'm seeing in my head.
Yeah, well, that's exactly... And they're quick, aren't they?
They are quick. Mm. In the water, they're even quicker.
Oh, good swimmers.
You could run away from one, definitely.
Oh, you could.
But you couldn't swim away from one, that's for sure. Well, let's hear from Hao Tong Li, who was asked if the finish to his final round was perhaps the best of his golfing career.
So far, it is. I just didn't realise I can make that putt on 15. That was huge. I think that was a turning point. You know, and especially on 18, I didn't realize we'll make that one. So either, so just happy. I think my game in good position now, and especially after this week, give me a lot of confidence back, especially last week miscut. So just want to be myself and play some decent golf in the future.
The two-shot swing on 10, what was going through your mind after that?
Honestly, that was a very poor shot. I think 4 days in a row down there, and especially take an unplayable, just bad course management. I think the most of the time just only 2 or 1 behind, so I just want to keep putting myself in a position and just don't go too far away. So quite happy what I did.
24 putts average for the first three rounds, and then he made 14 out of 14, 10 feet and under.
That's incredible.
I mean, 24 putt average for three rounds is incredible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then with that performance in the last round, when you're under the cosh in the last two ball.
But also, you see, I don't know whether you found it, when the greens are really, really quick, as they are in Dubai, the hole is actually smaller because the ball doesn't go in on the edge. You've got to hole a lot of putts in the middle. The lip doesn't receive the ball. It spits it out because they're so sharp. So that's an incredible stat.
It was a record total for the event, 23 under par for Hao Tong Li.
I know, absolutely. It was nearly level 66 is staggering scoring.
So a couple of wins now for Hao Tong Li, joining Ash and Wu. Two wins each on the European Tour.
Yeah, Asian golf is very strong for me. And I think from the Chinese point of view, there's a lot of players that are capable of emulating what he's done, and they're going to come in recent years.
Top 50 in the world, how huge is that?
Oh, massive. Well, majors, WGCs, Masters coming up. I mean, it's all good, isn't it? You know, those are the events that you want to get in. That's what you're striving for. And he's fully deserved for me. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, he's fun to watch, Hao Tong Li, he sure is. Now, Rory McIlroy finished second on 22 under par, leaving the former world number one frustrated for the second week running.
Yeah, I mean, birdie and tan, you know, going two ahead there with Lee making bogey. You know, thought I was obviously in the driver's seat. And then just a bogey out of nowhere on 11, just a bad 9-iron there. And then a 3-putt on 13. You know, those were the two key holes of the tournament, really, even though there was a bad tee shot on 16. But, you know, from being two ahead, standing on the 11th tee, to being level going into 16, I just, I don't know, it was a couple of bad shots, a couple of a couple of mental errors, a few tentative putts out there as well. I kept leaving myself in places where I couldn't really give it a run at the hole because they were downhill, down green, downwind. So I didn't really leave it in the best spots to be aggressive with my putts. But I tried until the very end, made two good birdies, made him win it in the end, which was, you know, all I could do. You know, and he played very well on the way in, birdie in three of the last four. You know, I just wish I could get a couple of those holes back.
What was the thought process for having had the two-shot swing on 10?
Not much, just keep doing. I knew there was a few tough holes coming up on the back nine. So it was just one of those days. I was sort of fighting everything a little bit. Felt like I played a good front nine. I scrambled and shot two under, which was good in the conditions, and just should have been a bit better on the back nine.
Were the conditions a factor?
Yeah, they were tough. I thought where some of the pin positions were and where the wind direction was, it was tough to get close to some of them with how firm the greens were. So, yeah, I mean, the conditions were tougher than they had been the last 3 days. I think the scores reflected that, but that wasn't a factor in the bad 9-iron and the 3-putt on 13.
It's obviously hard to take right now, but you must take positives when you sit down and reflect on these 2 weeks.
No, definitely. Like, how I'm feeling right now, I mean, if someone had told me at the start of the year you'd finish third and second your first two events, I would have said, yeah, I'll take that. But being in the positions that I've been in and having two close calls the first couple of weeks of the year, it's a little difficult, and I think I wouldn't. You know, the competitor in me is very disappointed right now. I wanted to win. I always want to win. And I just didn't do enough when I needed to.
Yeah, he's annoyed. And you're always going to play tournaments where it gets away from you. It did for Rory. With the tee shot 11 was a shocker. And he didn't two-putt 13 for his birdie. So he's irritated. But the plus side for Rory is that straight out of the rust, he's fit. He's got no physical, you know, impairments with his injuries that he had. He can hit it as hard as he wants. And he's playing well.
He is playing well.
So, it's, you know, there's a lot of pluses in there.
Well, of course, and, you know, he's going to have that massive weight on his shoulders as the Masters approaches.
I don't think he has.
Don't you?
No, I don't. I think if he goes in there thinking he's got a weight on his shoulders, it's wrong. He's mismanaging how he's thinking. I don't think he's thinking that.
No, I mean, from the press point of view, they'll be just leaning on him, reminding him of it. He's after the
slam.
There
are others, though. You know, Jordan Spieth's another one trying. I mean, Phil Mickelson's another one trying.
Yeah.
To get the career slam, you're not entitled to it.
No, you're not entitled
to
it.
So, because Rory, you go there and you play great stuff. I told you the plan for Rory is go to Augusta, birdie the par fives, par the rest, and he wins.
Sounds easy.
I know it sounds easy, but for him, where he drives
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't try and make eagle. Just knock it on the green and two putt from 30 feet.
If only the game was like
every
that.
Every par five, how does it. I think I could win three times a year off his tee shots.
Well, you probably could.
It's unbelievable.
I'd pay to caddy to watch that.
Well, I'd like you to caddy, but his ball striking, Rory's, is just
a joke.
Yeah, but it's, you know, for a bit of a golf freak, it's
I just love watching it.
Well, I watched him in Abu Dhabi. He's got this 2-iron in his bag with a graphite shaft on it. And he was on a hanging lie on 18, slightly left to right. And he just thought, this is a tough shot. And he just hit it like a missile.
You know, Roger Federer, when I look at other tennis players, Roger Federer is like the ultimate tennis player.
Yeah.
Not only does he have grace and timing when he plays, he's got the one-handed backhand.
Mm.
Hasn't got the two-handed backhand.
Mm.
He's pure. And Rory, to me, is pure.
Mm.
He still has long irons in his golf bag, and he putts with a normal grip.
Mm.
Him and Roger, they're two peas out of the same pod.
Yeah, very different sport, of course, but I just... and how fantastic that
is. Do you see the point I'm making? Or,
oh, yes,
or
it
you
is.
You just weren't saying one's a tennis player, one's a golfer.
No,
you?
No, I did
Thank
see
you.
The point you're making.
Thank you.
What a great win that was in Australia.
Oh, for Roger.
Oh, 36 years of age.
Major number 20.
Oh.
He's incredible. And he goes on and on. He might win Wimbledon again this
He's
year.
He's been
we'll
in 30 Grand Slam finals.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? But he's like, you know, if you look at a Stenson the way he plays or a Tiger the way he plays, it's very hard on their body the way they play.
I don't know how his knees have held up.
But he glides. His gait is a natural thing. Your gait is a natural thing. And if you're blessed with one like that he has... Mm. It's still jarring, but it's less jarring than maybe a Nadal or...
My gait's a bit sore this morning.
Yes, your gait's a bit sore, I know, that's for sure. Right, let's hear from Tyrrell Hatton, another fantastic player. Love watching him. He was third, and he was brooding over the closing hole when he spoke to us afterwards.
18, you know, I just hit the wrong club second shot. So it was pretty poor, to be honest, that we've hit 5-wood there, but you just can't miss it short, and we've hit the club that will miss it short if I didn't catch it 110%. So, you know, just very disappointed with that. But overall, it's been a great week.
What was the thought process going on 18 for the second shot?
Probably there wasn't much thought. That was the problem, which is not ideal when there's perhaps two of you there. So, you know, we should have hit 3-wood, but you got to learn from mistakes. And unfortunately, that was a massive mistake at the wrong time in a big tournament. So... you know, that hurts, but I can't change that now, unfortunately. But if you'd told me that I'd shoot 6-under today and finish third on my own, then, you know, I'd have been pretty happy with that.
In the end, you know, he misjudged it. That second shot over the water at 18 in Dubai, it's weird. There's something, it's like Bermuda Triangle-ish. There's something strange that happens with shots that fly over water sometimes. They just seem to drop out of the air. You either smash a 3-wood and go through the green, you play that chip back down the green, or... you risk, if it's not perfect, coming up short in the water.
Mm.
He was in gamble mode.
Yeah, he was in gamble mode, but...
he still made 5. You could chip and 2-putt from the back of that green and make 5.
Well, yeah, but 4 is a totally different score to post, isn't it?
Well, yeah, 4 is a different score to 5. Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, mentally, on the leaderboard to the other players. Anyway, golfers talk always in perfect terms, but he shot 1,200 over the
66
weekend.
On the last day with the conditions, the greens being firm and it being breezy was a great score.
And Saturday, 66.
Yeah, you can have no comeback on that.
It's a birdie every 3 holes over those 2 rounds over the weekend.
Tyrrell Hatton's playing great.
Yeah,
he's playing great. And Alex Levy be pleased with a 7th place in Abu Dhabi, 2 good weeks in the desert, 4th in Dubai, and a hole-in-one in the 3rd round.
Yes, yes, there's been a few holes-in-one out there. Yeah, but
Matthew Southgate had a hole-in-one.
Yeah, who was it? Cabrera Bayo holding one a few years ago? Anyway, the hole-in-one king, he played well as well last week. I'm talking about Jimenez in his mid-50s. But, yeah, Levy is firing on all cylinders early, and it's good to see it. And, of course, golf pros play off confidence, so he's got to be full of it. But I mentioned before...
Ryder Cup points, Alex Levy. Ryder Cup points.
And also, you know, Bjorn likes the way he plays. I was with him in Abu Dhabi, and he mentioned Alexander Levy. I think he's one of those guys he's keeping an eye on. But if he keeps playing like this, he's going to play his way in.
Well, Alex Levy.
Mm.
Yeah, not Levy.
Levy.
Yeah, thank you.
Both Frenchmen, yeah.
They are both Frenchmen. And Chris Paisley, what a run he's having.
Yes.
It's out of nowhere, really.
Well, it is out of nowhere. For 5 events, nearly 500,000 already. But I like his action. You know, I think he's got a great action.
When he won in South Africa, he honestly, John, he played the last round like Ben Hogan.
He shot 66 with no bogeys.
He was that good. He missed the first fairway, hit a good bunker shot from the fairway bunker just over the back of the green, great up and down with about a 10-footer, and then he played for the next 17 holes like Ben Hogan.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
A lot of people have said that this has been overdue, this sort of performances from Chris Paisley. Now he's got the win, which was nice because he had his wife on the bag.
one tournament caddied, one tournament win. But I'm pleased for his caddy because now they've got together the next 2 weeks and they play well. So so that's all working rather well. Can you give me, please, the top 10 in the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, John?
Well, I'll give you the top 18 because that's where it goes to. Yep. Right, so we know Haotong Li won from Rory McIlroy, who was second. Then Tyrrell Hatton third, Alexander Levy fourth, fifth Chris Paisley, then a host of players, sixth tied. Byung-Hun An, Alexander Bjork, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Tommy Fleetwood, Dylan Fratelli, Chris Hansen, David Lipsky, Ian Poulter, Richie Ramsey, Jason Scrivener, I haven't finished, Henrik Stenson, Andy Sullivan, and Jung-Hun Wang. And then 19th was, as I say, Jimenez. A fantastic performance in his 50s.
Brilliant. He's still box office, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
He's still got that swagger and that bit of character that you need out there.
Yep, 15 under for four rounds, I think, is a fantastic performance.
Yeah, fantastic player. He really is and has been for a long time. Now, in our predictions, this is how it's going to work this year. I, as the presenter and my co-presenter this week, John Hawksworth, will pick two players for the week coming up in Malaysia where you have to pick the person that you think is going to win and then pick somebody from outside last year's top 50 in the race to Dubai. So you've sort of got a heavily fancied one and maybe someone that can come from a long
I've
way
got
back.
You here.
I know you've got me, but I'll just take you through what happened this week because in your chair last week was Jamie Spence. You get 10 points for somebody in the top five, and you get 5 points for somebody inside the top 20, and you get 20 points if you get the winner. You got it. And if you miss the cut...
I've got the idea.
If you miss the cut, though, crucially, lose 5 points.
Oh, dear.
Which is very strict, and I've been stricken by that the last couple of weeks. However, this week, I went for Rory McIlroy. He finished second, so I got, 10 points for him. And Chris Paisley finished fifth as my outside the top 50 player. So I got 10 points for him. So I got 20 points... And it's presenter versus co-presenter. So representing you last week was Jamie Spence. He went for Tommy Fleetwood, 5 points, finishing sixth. Thomas Detry, 22nd, no points. 5 point total, thrashed by the difference of 15. So now I was behind in your seat because Dan Roebuck was here.
Yes.
But now I'm here.
Yes.
I'm backing myself.
Well, I've got you this way.
So you need to strike some points now for the co-presenters.
Mm.
So it's 30-20 in favour of me, the presenter.
Yes, I understand how that works.
Now, the Race to Dubai top 10, please, John.
Right, the Race to Dubai is led by, familiar name, Tommy Fleetwood from Haotong Li. Rory, after his great start, is third. Chris Paisley, fourth. Wade Ormsby, fifth after his win in Hong Kong. Ross Fisher, sixth. Dylan Fratelli, seventh. Shubhankar Sharma, eighth. Alexander Levy, ninth. And Tyrrell Hatton in 10th place.
Now in the... Oh, no, Ryder Cup points, please, before I go to the Race to Dubai game.
Well, of course, there's two lists because it's 4-4 and then 4. So it's 4 off the European, 4 off the world and 4 picks.
Yep.
Off the European points list, it's Justin Rose, Tyrrell Hatton, Ross Fisher, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Then the world points list, John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia, Paul Dunn. And then we don't know who the four are.
Now to the fancy Race to Dubai game, where listener Damien Hoare got the most points from Abu Dhabi in the show's mini-league with Messrs Kaufman, Lee and Roebuck third, fourth and fifth. I remain third overall with Stephen Goggin still on top. It's only a matter of time, Stephen. Why don't you join us? Go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Pick your fancy team and then join the private league under the pin, which is small case V, small case W, capital R, small case J, G, R, capital J, capital N, small y. That's VW small, large R, small J, G, R, large J, N, small y. Barney Dowding leads the global standings with George Price, whose team name is Lee Hao Tong, hashtag one fan, the best in the world last week. Wow. Don't forget to check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for the Maybank Championship this week on europeantour.com with our tips to come in a few minutes' time. So, John, on to the Maybank Championship, to the beautiful Saujana Golf and Country Club, and I fancy you've been there.
I have, many, many years ago. You didn't need a sweater.
No, is that the one with the par 5 up the hill last hole?
Yes. It's 30 years since I've been there.
Goodness me.
And that is a fair walk up there when you've been out there for 4.5 hours.
You need a few gloves, don't you?
And a few bottles of water.
I saw a few snakes there as well, by the way, when I was there.
Yes, I had a bit of an incident with a king cobra there.
Not good. You weren't trying to tame it or anything like that, were you?
No, it had rained.
You didn't say to your playing partners, watch this.
No, it had rained. Excellent. And they all came out of the holes. So as we were making our way back to the clubhouse, they're all up with their heads up in the air.
Oh.
And they were everywhere. But of course, they're staying out of the water. So it's like snakes and ladders, funnily enough. trying to get back to the clubhouse. To say I was relieved when I got back there, because they're quite big, King Cobra, and of course they can get the head out as well, and they're quite good at spitting.
Oh, spitting cobras.
Yeah, so there was many things I saw out there.
Apparently, the spit is kind of laser-guided.
Oh, they'll
constantly hit your eyes.
And then they just disappear. When the rain had drained away, you know what it's like. It just comes down in bucket loads, and then you don't see them.
And then they're gone.
But it's a great golf course.
It is good.
Tough walk, though. Very grainy greens, humid conditions. You've got to be fit. And I wasn't.
Well, Fabrizio Zanotti was fit last year because 9 under par, 63 in the final round, helped him to win the title 12 months ago. Here's how the Paraguayan remembers last year's event.
I think I missed 3 cuts in a row, and then we get there, and I probably get down my expectations, and I just play my game and let it go, you know, and all the week was like that, and then on Sunday was the same, and I was feeling good. I think it was probably, for the moment, the best round of my career. When I get to Paraguay, it was just great to see the family, my kid, my little one, and all the friends waiting to me in the airport. Actually, it was a long flight, and I remember after that we went home and we take a few drinks with my friends, and yeah, it was those moments that you are never going to forget in your life, and hopefully I can repeat it this year. Next week is going to be a beautiful week for me. Good memories, and it's a good golf course for me. Actually, last year was the first time I played the golf course, but I really enjoyed it, and I really like the place.
Can, because you missed the cut in Dubai, going back to a tournament that you've won on the next year actually kind of make you play better? Or is it irrelevant?
You've certainly got great memories. It depends on the state of mind when you turn up, doesn't it? I mean, you've seen players go back to venues that they won the year before and miss the cut. It's very early in the season, but if you want a confidence boost, to going back to somewhere where you've won can only help, surely.
That thick Bermuda rough can be really... not very high.
But the ball sits right down
in the roots.
As if it's been pushed in or trodden on. It's horrible to play out. Yeah, the blades are so thick.
You can't see it from sometimes 5 yards away. You can't see your ball.
And you've got to go in as if you're creeping up on something because you don't want to stand on it.
Oh, but hitting the fairways is obviously, and he's on his game, he's a very good driver.
Incidentally, back to the snakes, my caddy when I played there, barefoot, finds a snake, big toe and toe next to it, straight on the snake, pick it up with the tail and lob it away.
So he used
that's how they dealt with him.
Between his two toes, he stuck it in the back of the snake's neck.
Back of the snake's neck.
Yeah.
And then pick it up and toss it away. I have to say, I was not in the vicinity.
Was the snake sleeping, or was it? I mean, did it look active or inactive?
It's just the way they dealt with them. They put the foot on it so that it can't turn around, and they'll miss.
I mean, I could see you making an awful mess of that.
Well, I'd had a label on my big toe, wouldn't I? I mean, there's no way to have got that.
Well, thank God I didn't cut those nails.
It's making me shiver now thinking about it.
Thunderstorms every day.
They do like a downpour.
Yeah, big chance of that. So. You go there ready for stop, start, stop, start.
Yeah, it's a little bit like playing in South. You can get lucky, but normally the storms bubble up at lunchtime, and they're a thing of beauty to watch.
Quite undulating fairways.
Oh, yeah. As I said, it's a tough course to walk around, and the humidity is, unless you're taking plenty of water on, it can just have you like that.
And what about the monkeys that are on the golf course?
Was that a monkey?
It was a monkey.
I thought you trapped your hand.
There was a spider monkey there.
Oh, was it?
Yes. It wasn't just any old monkey.
The funniest thing I remember with the monkey, I was playing in Kenya and I hit my ball at the left of about 7 at Windsor Golf Club.
Yes.
Came down and nicked it. Went up the tree and they're all sat in the tree with it. Not playing catch with it, but
obviously knowing exactly
what they'd done.
Were they playing spoof or something, the monkeys?
I don't know what they were doing, but they nicked my ball.
Do you know, I was playing with a similar sort of thing. I played at, where was I now?
You'll have to give me a clue.
I will give you a clue. It's in Surrey, Queenwood.
Oh, yeah. And they got monkeys
crow,
on there.
I hit ball into a bunker, playing a money game. Crow flew down, picked up the ball, flew off with it.
Yeah.
Next hole, par 3. I hit it on the edge of the par 3. It came back down, nicked my ball again. 2 holes running.
Same crow.
Well,
how do you know?
I guessed it was. He had a penchant for nicking golf balls. He couldn't have had a brother or something.
He was a kleptomaniac.
Unbelievable. Who's going to do well around here?
Around this golf course.
A good driver.
Yeah.
You're looking for a good, consistent driver.
Yeah, and also when
it rains. Can't win it from the rough.
When it rains, it makes the golf course wider as well. because the ball isn't going to bumble into the rough.
Yeah.
And it is going to rain out there. Yeah, of course you've got to drive it well around. And somebody with a tasty short game, because the Bermuda is something that you really have to get used to for chipping out of it. You think you've got a lot of talent, it comes out dead, it comes out hot. It's an art. So somebody who drives it well and somebody who's got a bit of experience.
Picking the lie is what all the great chippers can do. You pick the lie and you work out how it's going to come out.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And a lot of feel involved, but also a little bit of luck. But there's such a variety of wedges in the bag these days that they've got a bit of help, but nevertheless, it's hard.
Give us a feel for the field.
Well, we have Stenson playing, which is nice to see. Danny Willett, former Masters champion, is having a bad time, isn't he? Tongchai Jiaidi, he could be one to watch, but I'm not backing him. Bernd Wiesberger has won down there before. Then a little bit further down, we just heard from Zanotti. Ollison's been playing pretty well recently. Jordan Smith had a slow start to the season. Andrew Johnson back on our side of the pond now. We know that Chris Paisley...
Hao Tung Lee's going down there. He's going to try and make it two in a row.
Well, I was just getting to him.
Oh, wait, sorry. Build-up. I didn't realise the build-up.
Chris Paisley, Dylan Fratelli. It's a very good field. A lot of South Africans. Dean Burmester hits it miles. Thomas Bjorn, the Ryder Cup captain's going. Rio Ishikawa, the Japanese player that much was spoken about but doesn't seem to have fulfilled his potential, unfortunately. Marcel Siem's down there. Chris Hansen, who played well last week. So it's a good field, but... I think I've got you on the picks this week. And Jazz Jane Watanonand, he's playing.
Yeah, he's slowly building his career, isn't he? So go on then, give me your picks.
Well, I'm going for Bernd Wiesberger.
Yeah.
Inside the top.
Because
50.
Bernd Wiesberger is a Ryder Cup type player that hasn't done it yet.
He is.
So he needs to get his foot down.
Well, and I think that might be this week. And then
okay.
my other pick outside the top 50 is the Englishman from Moore Park, Matt Wallace.
Yeah, very nice. I saw Matt qualify for the US Open last year at Walton Heath. Very impressive. So, yeah, two good picks. I'm going to counter that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to counter that. My outside the top 50 pick is the beef, but that is going to be sticky under that beard in Malaysia.
He might shave half of it off.
Well, I mean, I think a little trim might not go amiss there with the being so hot.
Are you offering or suggesting?
No, I just put it out there in the ether, but it's going to be clammy and
sticky.
What
would you trim that with? A flymer?
Well, I think just a scythe, really.
Stay still.
Yeah, just take 5 minutes out from the cornfield and just hack away at it and get some of it off. So I'm going for Beef Johnson as my outside the top 50 last year.
And
I'm going to go for Henrik Stenson.
Henrik Stenson?
Yeah.
I don't see that as a Stenson place temperature.
I don't have to justify it.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I don't. I'm going for Henrik Stenson and the beef. Now, next to the latest installment of Tiger Woods' comeback, Woods thought he did pretty well at the Farmers Insurance Open with no issues at all for his body after injury. That's a massive plus. The 14-time major winner finished 7 shots behind the leaders at Torrey Pines, with Jason Day and Alex Noren having to come back today to finish after going extra time. Let's work it out. They went 5 extra holes. Long into the night if you're watching it here in the UK, but they played very well. They both birdied 18. Then they went back to the tough par 3, 16, both parred that, both parred 17, both birdied 18.
You know, Noren, he's a great, great player. Of course, Jason Day's been former world number one. But Noren is under the radar over there, and a lot of people won't know anything about him. But boy, can that guy play. I mean, he had 5 wins, didn't he, in 12, 13 months back in, the years fly by, but not very long ago. And of course, Jason Day has been off the boil, hasn't he? All the focus has been on Spieth and Justin Thomas. I should be watching that later on, but I have to say about Tiger Woods, you know, I'm so excited about the state of his body when he's playing.
The body's great. He scored fantastically well for where he hit it, which was basically all over the golf course.
To make the cut.
I mean, at some point, it was hard to spot if he was playing the south or the north course.
Yeah, I know. He has got a little bit of a problem with the left, but to make the cut, because he was in trouble, I think he needed 3 birdies on his back 9.
That's correct. He birdied his last hole to make the cut.
You know, when you've been out of the game, I mean, I can't believe it's back to 2008 when he won his last major. He's almost as if he's retired over the last sort of 5 years, the problems he's had. Brilliant performance to make the cut.
It was.
Let's not be, well, Tiger should have won it.
No, I think his big plus is that he's got through a tournament out of thick rough where he was having haymakers out of it and smashing it, and the body stood up to it. So that's all good for him.
You ain't injured with speed like that in your swing.
That's all good for him, no. So, yeah, well done, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, good to have you back. I should mention that Ryan Palmer was the third person in the playoff but got eliminated at the first extra hole when Day and Noren birdied, and he only managed a par.
Mm.
So he finishes third by default. Now, the Stay Short schedule has just been announced for the Senior Tour. What was the Senior Tour on the European Tour? So go to europeantour.com to see the full list of events. The Stay Short PGA Seniors Championship returns to the schedule with the Senior Open presented by Rolex held at the Old Course of St Andrews for the first time. How cool is that?
Yes, I should be there. I'm looking forward to that. Fantastic, too. It'd be interesting, the golf course for the senior players around there is more suited than to the modern game for the guys who hit it 330, 340.
Do they have qualifying for that?
Yes, they do.
So you can open. You can just go and open qualifying.
You can,
enter
the Senior Open. I've had a couple of thoughts about doing it, but unfortunately I've always been working.
Oh, I'd like to see you do that.
And I'm working at it this year, so I can't wait to.
Could you not play and work?
No.
You know, if you get in, you could do your calling from the fairways, but only on the group that you're in.
I've got 167 to
Sorry,
go.
We're back with the Hawksworth group again. we'd like to read the world's top 10 out, but that hasn't been established because the event in America is going to finish today. So we'll hold back on the world's top 10. But John Rahm will still be the world number two, and Dustin Johnson will still be the world number one. That's about it for this week's Race to Dubai show. Don't forget that you can review and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and why wouldn't you? Join us next week when we'll look back at the Maybank Championship and also preview the ISPS Handa World Super 6. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat. John's on all of those at europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from John Hawks with his gone for...
Bernd Wiesberger and Matt Wallace.
And me, Robert Lee, who's gone for Henrik Stenson and... the beef. Thank you. Beef Johnson and Henrik Stenson. We'll see you next week.
Bye.